You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank God it's Tuesday. Thank you for joining us here on this Tuesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of it with me here. We're tuning into God's frequency here this morning or this afternoon, whatever time you've tuned in, 6:30 a.m., maybe 7:30 a.m. here on WMIE 91.5. Maybe you've tuned into the 5:30 p.m. rebroadcast. Whatever time you're tuning in, I thank you and I welcome you. We're going to get into the Word now. You're going to hear the sermon I just preached on Sunday, and it's entitled The Fullness of the Gentiles. Now, I really love the way the old NIV from 1984 reads, where it says, I don't want you, this is Romans chapter 11, verse 25. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed of this mystery, that blindness in part or a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. That's the sermon here today. See, I believe that, well, we know that not everyone who wants to get into the kingdom is going to get in, because Jesus says so verbatim. He said to strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, we read in the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew chapter 25, same thing. It says those that were ready went with the Lord. And then it says the door was shut. So that's what we're looking at here today. What it is that is going to cause the Lord to get up and shut this door. And we'll be here today. We'll wrap this up tomorrow. Midweek Bible study resumes tomorrow, and I will be teaching, starting the book of Galatians, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. We would love to see you. We roll out the dry erase board. It's a much more informal service. We'd love to see you. You can join us live on Facebook at 6 o'clock or join us here live in person at Island Community Church. All right, here we go. This is part one of this message now. Jesus's closed door policy. The fullness of the Gentiles. That's what we're looking at here today. We're looking at one of my, or I guess we could call this, the Lord's closed door policy. We're looking at one of my all-time favorite topics here this morning, this fullness of the Gentiles. That it's one of my favorite topics certainly is intimidating in its own right. I mean, if this is one of the subjects the Lord has given me great insight, then that troubles me. Because when you see today what unfolds, which then leads God to lift Israel out of its spiritual darkness that he himself has put them in, when you see what happens, your jaw will drop in awe and you'll be filled with, time will tell. Joy that all of this is finally over, or despair, how will you feel? Let's pray before we get started, though. Lord God Almighty, we praise you once again. Lord, we ask for your blessings here now on the preaching of this message here today. Speak to us. We listen for your voice. When we consider taking seats in your kingdom, we're going to be like the 11 apostles that said, "Is it I?" Not one of complacency, but we listen for your voice. Speak to us through your word. Lead us and guide us. Lord, we pray for all those that haven't taken their seat, that you would compel them to take their seat into the kingdom of God here today, while it still is today. Because the night is coming when
no one can work. Lead us and guide us now. Help us to be doers of what we hear today and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. How will you feel when the Lord shuts the door? When God shuts the door, perhaps in your lifetime, what will be your response? Because this is what we're looking at here today. Maybe you'll look around and you'll be filled with remorse. Remorse for what you didn't do. Remorse for who you didn't speak to. Remorse for a son. Remorse for a daughter. Remorse for a friend or a coworker. Now, perhaps you might say, well, I know when this happens, everyone on planet Earth is still going to have 7 years to get their act together, to turn from sin and to get serious for God or to receive His Son. The only problem with that is nowhere is that written in my Bible. That's not what the Word of God says. That might be what the books say in the fiction section of the Christian bookstore. But that's not what the Bible says. Make no mistake about it. So what does the Bible say? Now, as we move forward, let me say, interpreting this text does require some speculation on my part because it's prophecy. Everyone understand that? I mean, it hasn't happened yet. Prophecy, just because it hasn't happened yet, what we're about to look at, because what will happen, though, is fact. When it happens, now, that's the mystery. And it is a mystery. The Apostle Paul calls it a mystery, meaning no one has ever heard this before. At least we've got it now written down, but this was new. Anytime you read it, hear something that's a mystery in the Bible. But imagine what would happen if this text I'm going to read to you now. And you guys can turn. We're going to be in Romans chapter 11 here coming up in a minute. But prior to that, what would happen if this text here, this Luke 13:24, what was to happen if this were to happen today? And let me read it to you. One day Jesus asked the question. He said, one day, Jesus' disciples asked him the question, and they said, Lord, are there just a few people that are going to be saved? Great question, right? I mean, we all wonder that. Someone sent me an email this week, stranger who listens in on the radio, and asked me that. I'd have asked that question if I would have had the opportunity. Lord, are there just a few people who are going to be saved? What about all the innocent bystanders out here throughout the years? And he didn't answer yes, and he didn't answer no. But rather he said, Luke chapter 13, verse 24, he said, strive. Greek word, agonizo. Catch the physical exertion of the word. Strive. Said, strive, strive. Allah, if anyone's old enough to remember the name of Jack LaLanne. Right? Remember him? My mother used to love him when I was growing up. Jack LaLanne. Strive! You gotta burn a calorie is what I'm trying to say. No, I take that back. That's not me. That's him saying that, not me. They asked him, are there a whole bunch of people saved or just a few? He doesn't say yes. He doesn't say no. He says, burn you some calories. It's the same Greek word for a marathon race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He said, or fight the good agona. And where our word agony comes from. Gasping for air after running 26 miles. Same word used of the Lord Jesus when he said he sweat great drops of blood in the garden. And it said he agonized in prayer. That's the mindset that he wants you to get and get hold of when he answers the question, Lord, is there a whole bunch of people that are going to be saved? He doesn't say yes. He doesn't say no. He says to strive. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, all right, now we're going to discover the season for that here this morning. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at that door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Imagine that. Imagine that happening before halftime of today's football lineup. The master of the house rising up, not knowing you, not knowing your home address. I mean, even your cat knows where you live, for the love of Pete. He doesn't know it. Not him, at least not intimately. How could he, if you've never invited him to sup inside of your house? He doesn't know where you live. Now that's, I'm just a preacher. This is what he's saying. The time is going to come when he shuts this door and he's going to say those famous words. First, go away. Second, I don't know you. Or he says, I don't know where you live either. Not the place where I want to be found. How about you? The Apostle Paul, before he died in prison, he pleaded that he would be found in him. That's where he wanted to be found. How about you guys? I want him to know. He knows where we live. How about you? Have you invited him? I didn't say into your house. I said, have you invited him into your home? And then the shutting of the door that leads to heaven, which then ends the day of grace. I've got a new name for the day of grace. I'm going to call it now the day of the outstretched arms is the day of grace. The day of the outstretched arms, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The day of the outstretched arms of the Son of God. Imagine that happening in your lifetime. Now, this is what I want to look at here today. After this horrible assassination that happened this last week, seeing a few million Americans that are rejoicing, I asked myself, how much longer can this whole world continue like this without a direct intervention by God to put a halt to all the evil out here in the world? I am suspicious of this day that we live in. The death of Mr. Kirk is a prophetic sign that Revelation chapter 11 is here. Maybe you say, what's that? Look that up sometime after you leave here. Read Revelation chapter 11, which even 10 years ago couldn't have happened like it's happened these last 2 weeks. Now let me explain to you what I've learned throughout the years. Heaven is not like a bar where the bartender announces, last call. Heaven is more like an arena with a limited number of seats. And posted on the wall outside the arena is a sign. A sign for the fire inspector that we have is outside of our doors right here, because we've posted a sign out there. And on that sign, it says this: when you walk out, when you leave, turn to the right, look over your right shoulder, and you'll see a sign that says this. It says, maximum capacity. I think it says 260 people. Can you imagine what this church will look like with 260 people in it? And yet, isn't that our worst nightmare for how many years? having 260 people and not knowing the names of the people here. That's my worst nightmare, is having people in this church that I don't know by name, and I don't know their son and their daughter. That's my greatest fear. First of all, that that applies here. And also, that that number is getting perilously close to reaching its fullness. Now, that's his words, not mine. This past week or two, another chilling sign has come to pass that we're perilously close to this happening. And that sign was people rejoicing at the death of a witness for God. I mentioned that again in last week's sermon. That's Revelation chapter 11, verse 10. Not so much the witness part, but the response of the people of a good man dying. Very prophetic. And now, even since last week and I preached here, that number has grown exponentially. There are now millions of people rejoicing at what happened to Charlie Kirk 2 weeks ago. That didn't happen on September 11th. But it's happened now. And Revelation warned that this is how you'll know if you put your thumb on the pulse of the state of the world. That's why I call that sermon the State of the Union. I'm considering preaching that in a couple weeks. Put your thumb on the pulse. The pulse is when a righteous people die, everyone rejoices and the whole world sends gifts to one another. That didn't happen September 11th. Not like that, other than the extremists and wackos out there. Not like it is today, though. Now, we're in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 11. Let's pick it up in verse 22. Set the groundwork for this. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. It says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Colon. All right, he said it. Shall we? Allow me to remind you. Looking back at our lives now, God has been good to you, hasn't he? Consider the goodness of God. That's what he says. Let's stop for a minute here on this 21st of September and let's do that. God's been good to you. God demonstrates his own love towards you in that while you were still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you. Let's stop and consider the goodness of God. In this, the Bible says, and you he made alive who were dead. In trespasses and sins. Reminds me of that old Steve McQueen show I watch sometimes. It's called Wanted, Dead or Alive. Dead or alive. Well, God still wanted you even when you were dead. That's good news. Consider the goodness of God that when you were stone cold, flat out dead, the D-E-A-D type of dead, that God reached out to the bottom of the swimming pool and he pulled you out and he set your feet upon the rock. Praise God. That's good news. Come on, what's with all the serious faces in here today? Praise God, you're alive. Praise God, your name is in the book of life. Praise God, you know the truth. Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. That's good news. Let's put some smiles on these faces here today. Consider the goodness of God in your own life. Now, the old NIV, which I've got here this morning, reads this way in verse 22. It says, consider the kindness instead of goodness, consider the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness on those who fell, referring to Jews, he's talking about, okay? What's happened to Israel? He's talking national Israel. When he says, concerning those who fell, he's talking about Jews, but that's applicable in your life as well. Sternness on those who fell, but kindness to you. And now here comes the caveat and why it applies to you. Catch the word provided here. Or the New King James has the word if. He says, kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Now walk away from that and you will suffer the consequences. To walk and live in the goodness and kindness of God, you and I must continue to embrace all that the Lord has done for us. There's no other option than that. Continuing in the faith, continuing to take a minute. Let's praise God for who he is. Let's exalt the Savior for who he is and for what he's done. I got you guys 1 hour out of 168, and by golly, this is what we're going to do in here today. We're going to exalt God for who he is and for what he's done. That's all. You don't have to split the atom. You don't have to calculate the last digit of pi. Just have a life of gratitude for all the Lord has done and to continue to love and worship God. That's all that's required of us. So, consider the goodness and the kindness of God. God's had his hand on you since before you were born. And when you were, let's say, all that you used to be, he reached out to you in love to deliver you from hellfire. So consider the kindness of God this morning. Also consider the threat, which follows. Starts with the word otherwise. Consider the kindness of God, otherwise you also will be cut off. The word also, again meaning national Israel, you also, like them, will be cut off. That's what chapter 11 here is all about in the book of Romans. It's about Israel. It's about why they don't believe, where they went wrong, and what's God's plan for Israel, if any. Verse 23 in God's promise. And they also, Israel, if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. I love that promise. God is able. You know, God is able to graft you back into the vine as well. If you find yourself on the outside looking in, if you have endured sternness, God is able. If you're estranged, like the Galatians found themselves to be, let me encourage you today, God is able. There is nothing that you have done that God cannot forgive you of, and he is able to graft you back into this vine here. Regardless of your terrible past, perhaps, or how tragic maybe your fall has been, I'm here to encourage you today out of the Word of God. God is able. He is able to, this is why his son died, to obliterate your sins. Remember, he said, your sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. The good news is, when you receive Jesus Christ, God has amnesia with your sins. And you read the promise here, it says, God is able. No matter what the train wreck looks like, God is able today to restore you to a right relationship with him. He's able to restore your severed relationship with him. Like the parable of the prodigal son. When the Bible says that he came to his senses, first you got to come to your senses. Once he came to his senses, he returned home. When he approached home, his father saw him from a distance and he ran to him and embraced him. Let me encourage you, God is waiting for you as well. Like the prodigal son, he is waiting, he's looking, he sees you coming from a distance, and what his desire is to embrace you as well. Kill the fatted calf for you. Put the ring on your finger, give you some new pair of Jimmy Choos. He's waiting for you. The unfortunate thing is from our text today is that the world is running out of time. Because if you've noticed, there's also an Old Testament in this book. And that's bad news for all of you. That's bad news for all you Gentiles. Because their story is incomplete. That there's an Old Testament here is bad news for you. He's not done with the nation of Israel. We're finding out here today when he's going to pick up his plan. The very fact that there is an Old Testament, you see, it's got to make your hair stand up. He's not done dealing with Israel. He's going to resume his plan with them. And we're going to look at here. We're going to see when this is going to happen. The time is coming when God's going to resume his plan for the old covenant nation of Israel, estranged since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When they proclaimed, and I quote, "Let his blood be on us and on our children," unquote. So that's where we're at here today, September 21st, year of our Lord, 2025. God, through his word for 2,000 years, repeatedly speaks to you and says, even today, he says, today, if you will, notice, this is an open invitation and it's on you. It's not on him, it's on you. He says, today, if you will, hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the days of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me and they tried me. They saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and I said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they would not enter my rest. So catch the word today. Catch the phrase, if you will. And this, 2 Corinthians 6:1. Paul says, we then, as workers together with Christ, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God. Remember, the grace of God, the day of the outstretched arms. The day of the outstretched arms is the day of grace where Jesus has been standing here for 2,000 years saying, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.